When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Welcome back to EV News Daily. Coming up today, Ford's Model T EV moments, Leap Motors B10 debuts, and XPeng expands abroad. Plus, stay tuned. Later in the show, I'll tell you why Cadillac is recalling 53 Lyric and Optics. Interesting reason. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information. End of the week, Friday 1st of August. I'm Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story so you don't have to. Check out the Patreon page if you want to see what it's all about. Patreon.com/EV News Daily. Ford is going to unveil their new US-built EV platform. We have a date and the countdown's on. Ford reported an $800 million financial hit in the second quarter from tariffs imposed by the US president. During the earnings call, CEO Jim Farley said the company will share more details about its EV plans next month, which they hope will turn things around. Farley said August 11th will be a big day for all of us at Ford, and that it would be a chance to bring a new family of vehicles to the world that offers incredible technology, efficiency, space, and features. He said that Ford will be in Kentucky to outline its plans for making new electric vehicles and platforms in the US. He called the strategy Ford's Model T moment in electrification. Well, last year, Ford revealed, was it last year? It may have been before, a secret project, so not so secret anymore, focused on making an affordable or series of affordable Ford electric vehicles for many customers. A new EV platform to support different models, which could include a subcompact SUV, a small pickup truck, a delivery vehicle possibly. The new electric vehicles will be made in the United States, including at the new Kentucky plant. Some will use LFP batteries, lithium iron phosphate, to keep the costs down. Well, and actually, because Ford, hopefully, will have a $3 billion LFP factory up and running by then. Blue Oval Battery Park, Michigan. Licensing technology from CATL, but American politicians aren't keen on it, and Chinese politicians aren't keen on it. So we'll wait and see if that ever gets off the ground. I'm sure there's a few squeaky bum moments at Ford right now, navigating a few choppy political waters. I'm sure smart people are working on that, and they'll get it over the line. US-made, automotive-grade LFP cells on US soil. Really big deal. Actually, and GM is doing the same. Not the licensing thing, but doing the same plans. Now, Leap Motor has launched its B10 in Europe. Now, B10 is an electric SUV. It starts at €29,000, about $34,000 US. Stellantis, which is Leap Motor's partner, investor, I should say, says the B10 will be one of the most competitive electric SUVs in its class at this price. The B10 has 5 seats and uses the Leap 3.5 platform, similar in size to a BYD Atto 3, but costing much less, they say. 2 LFP battery packs choices, small size or standard size, I should say, is 56.2 kilowatt hours, WLTP'd at 224 miles. It's good. Anything over 200 miles at a low price is very good. We don't know the pricing, of course. The larger pack, 67.1 kilowatt hours, WLTP at 270 miles. That sounds more like it, because wait till it's winter and wait till you're, I don't know, doing some elevation or something, and that will drop pretty quickly. The B10 will DC fast charge at 168 kilowatts. That's decent, right? AC charging at 11. In Europe, the B10 version comes with a 163 kilowatt motor. Two trims are offered. The base version, which is the life trim, even then has panoramic glass roof, electric sunshade, alloys, 360 camera for parking, full driver assistance suite. Whereas the top level, the design trim, will heat and ventilate your seats, power adjustable as well, ambient lighting, nice car, little price. Wait and see. Talking of little price, by the way, the other SUV, there's two vehicles on sale at the moment here, which is the T03 from Leap Motor, small city car, about 15 grand, getting discounted right now. And then a bigger SUV, that's about 33, 34, I think, last time I looked. That's the C10. And that's actually a pretty... there's only so much you can do with that family SUV shape and size. I think it looks pretty decent from most angles. The tech inside seems okay. I'm sure it's not the most riveting thing to drive, but that's not why you buy that car. I was looking on either leasing.com or LeaseLoco a couple of nights ago, and they must have had, for whatever reason, a bunch of them in stock or just a deal, and they were the cheapest car you could lease on the platform. It's leasing.com, and it was the cheapest car. It was like 130 quid a month, and that deal's gone now. I checked it before I hit record today, and it's gone. They're up to about 190 now, which I think is not bad. We don't lease our vehicles, but it seems okay if you're in that model. But 130 quid, was it 129? Was it 119? I couldn't get over it. I saw it on Reddit, and those deals were there for a couple of days. That's a crazy low price for a big family vehicle. I can't lease vehicles because I have two little yogurt schmushers. They're 3 and they're 7. And when you give a lease vehicle back, they're going to say, how much damage has it got? And, you know, I can't hand on heart say, oh, none whatsoever. They're just going to wreck cars. So, we're careful with the Polestar. But otherwise, I think we need a van. Maybe you could help me out with any recommendations of what we should buy next. I think a van, maybe. I don't know. Something from the Stellantis camp or something that's got the half-decent range that we can buy outright and own, and I'm not going to get stressed if they, I don't know, drop some crisps in it or something. Right, let's move on. XPeng is opening their first plants in Indonesia and launching the X9. They've opened their first overseas assembly plant, heavily populated area, nation, I should say, in Southeast Asia. Indonesia is a huge market. The plant's first model is the X9. The X9 is an MPV. It's a 7-seat MPV. It's a right-hand drive X9 built from kits, semi-knockdown kits from China, and then reassembled in Indonesia. It's got the full-on smart cockpit, the intelligent driving system, rear-wheel steering, for instance. The X9 starts at about 60,000 US equivalent. Now, XPeng's just turned 10 years old. They first exported cars to Norway 5 years ago, the first market outside of China, and now they're up to 40 international markets. Renault has got a new CEO. Now, Renault's been doing brilliant things in EVs for a very long time. Of course, Renault-Nissan back in the day with the Leaf and the Zoe were early. Now, Nissan are finding their way in this new EV world. It's a shame they've lost that early lead with the Leaf. Ari is good. New Leaf has to really catch up and do well. On the other hand, Renault went their own way and have got a really lovely roster of EVs, and more coming as well. And they're good, and they're stylish, they stand out. Nothing against the Zoe, which is an okay-looking vehicle. I've owned two, but not fantastic, whereas the new Renault 4, Renault 5, even the family cars they've got that are either plug-in hybrids or full electrics, there's something to them. They look great. Well, now, Renault needs a new CEO, and the previous vision of the old CEO is possibly up for debate. We'll wait and see. The new guy is François Provost. If ever there was a more French-sounding CEO of a French car company, I have yet to hear that name. François Provost, new CEO, is coming into Renault with some lower annual profit forecasts, but a very robust pipeline of electrification. Over 70% of Renault sales come from Europe, where growth has started to slow. To find new growth, Renault plans to invest €3 billion, launching 8 new models outside of Europe by 2027. It's partnered with other companies recently, like Geely in a Korean venture, and Volvo on electric vans. Former CEO Luca Di Meo launched 10 new models and 2 facelifts last year, the company's biggest product push. Renault will reveal 7 new models and 2 facelifts this year. And of course, under the umbrella is the Dacia brand as well, which is, you know, things like the Dacia Spring, the little EV. There should be a new one of those coming. I hope they keep that. It probably won't be the massively profitable vehicles that larger, more expensive cars can be. But that should, again, reclaim the crown of being the cheapest EV on sale. But good luck to François Prevost. Now, Nissan, on the other hand, their alliance partner, formerly very close alliance partner, had an operating loss last quarter because of tariffs and lower vehicle demand of $547 million. Revenue was down 2% in the quarter. Global retail sales down to 707,000, down from 787. By region, North America down 2.4%, Japan down 11%, Europe down 5.1%. And the new CEO at Nissan said that the revival plan launched in May is just starting to gain traction and moving in the right direction. Of course, in electrification, very early with the Leaf. Aria was solid. I think that's probably the best compliment I can pay to the Aria. Was solid, but price-wise, not massively competitive at times. And then the new Leaf, which is coming now, made in the UK, Sunderland in the northeast, battery factory across the road, of course, is an enormously important vehicle. I've seen headlines saying that the Leaf needs to save Nissan. Politely and respectfully, the new Nissan Leaf, whether it is a wild success or not, is not enough to save Nissan. I thought some of the doom and gloom around Nissan was maybe a little bit overdone recently, but seeing more and more of these quarterly results coming out, it is clear Nissan have a real headache on their hands. And yeah, you know, one vehicle can't save them, but it certainly is enormously important that the new Nissan Leaf is very, very good. Let's go to Honda next. They are going to reveal a new electric motorcycle. Honda is the world's biggest motorcycle manufacturer. Did you know that? It'll unveil a new electric motorcycle in September. They've shown preview images on social media now. The model has classic motorcycle proportions, standard riding position, a seat for two, and a single-sided rear swing arm. It does not have forward-set foot controls or scooter-like features. So it's a motorcycle, most definitely, not an electric scooter. Looking a little bit like the Honda EV Fun concept we saw in Milan last October. Electric motorcycles for street commuting have become more popular. Their use case fits well with the current range that electric can provide on two wheels. 3 years ago, Honda said it had plans to launch 10 electric motorcycles by 2025. Well, we're in August now. I don't see us flooded with Honda EV and motorcycles, do you? They were going to be commuter bikes and high-performance versions. And, well, so far, the releases have been limited to mainly electric scooters and prototypes. Honda's been cautious with EVs. The announcement in September will probably refocus us a little bit on Honda as an EV motorcycle maker. We'll take a break when we come back. Lots to talk about on the podcast today. A bit more motorcycle stuff and the Hyundai Ioniq 2. Stick around. Back in a mo. All right, welcome back to the podcast and part two of our motorcycle stories today. And Zero Motorcycles has now begun shipping its new X-Line models. They've got the XC and the XB. They are heading off to dealers and customers worldwide. The XB has a 2.4 kilowatt hour battery, a couple of hours to charge it, 7.5 kilowatt motor, and a top speed of 50 miles an hour. The XB costs $4,395. The XE costs $6,500, but it has double the battery, 4.3 kilowatt hours, swappable pack, and it has a double the power, 15.5 kilowatts. And so top speed of 53 miles an hour, and both models available in the United States. New orders now would come before the end of the year, the CEO there saying these X-Line bikes are a big milestone for Zero and the future for off-road EV performance. Hyundai is next. They will launch a new electric vehicle, the Ioniq 2. And it'll fit between the little Insta, or Casper as it is in its home market, everywhere else it's the Insta, and the Kona Electric. Of course, the Kona may not be long for the world. We'll wait and see. The Ioniq 2 is probably going to be developed alongside Kia's EV2. They don't just release the same vehicle, those two sister companies. They do them differently, as we've seen with the top ones, like the Ioniq 9, the Kia EV9. Very different vehicles in many ways, and very similar in some as well. Hyundai Europe's new CEO said we'll see a full reveal in the next few months of the Ioniq 2. Well, he didn't name the Ioniq 2. They haven't said that name. We are making the assumption. Hyundai says the Ioniq 2 will go on sale next year in 2026, late in 2026. Deliveries, though, could be around the same time. So they should get ready to start selling it. Kia's EV2. Previewed by the EV2 concept, will come first, by the way. Both cars, 400-volt version of EGMP, two battery packs, 58 or 81 kilowatt-hours, which is the way they tend to do it. The Ioniq 2 would start around £25,000 or $33,000 US equivalent, and so sitting above the Insta, talking of which, has got some big discounts on at the moment. I think it's 3.5 or 3750 off the Insta, which is a great little vehicle. I was about to say fully charged. Put a video out about the little Insta, but they have a new name, no longer fully charged. But they absolutely rate it, was my point, anyway. Which is to say that whenever I watch a video review of the Insta, it just gets rave reviews. Over to Kia, though, and the EV4 has been going through some, well, high-performance testing on the Nürburgring. A series of thorough tests of the EV4 showing battery keeps performing well under long and tough use. 75,000 miles or 120,000 kilometres of testing, nearly all of those on public roads in Europe, but 10,000 kilometres or 6,000 miles done on the Nürburgring racetrack. And no, they're not tuning the EV4. For speed, Kia uses their fourth generation battery technology, advanced thermal management, new coolant distribution, new battery temperature controls to keep it steady. At the Nürburgring, the EV4 ran at 95% of its top performance. Engineers would then fast charge the battery several times between laps and keep on testing how tough it is. So this wasn't using the Nürburgring to pound round and make the EV4 look good on a lap time chart, but how hard can we push this new engineering to make sure that it can withstand extremes? And that's just another example of big improvements being made in EV technology. So much so, Kia will guarantee the EV4 battery will have 70% of their original capacity after 100,000 miles or 160,000 kilometres. Many combustion cars after that amount of miles have been through a few, I don't know, catalytic converters, certainly many, many oil changes, diesel injectors are going to come to be done, cam belt changes, water pumps and the rest, and EVs will just keep on going and going. Now, in the UK, Zoopla, one of the big property platforms here, now shows details about EV charging for homes listed for sale on its website and app. I do like a little bit of window shopping sometimes of an evening. My wife and I used to, watch Netflix or Amazon or whatever. We used to watch box sets and things back in the day, and then kids arrived, and now you sort of get 20 minutes here and 20 minutes there while one of us is putting the kids to bed. And so I do like a little session on Rightmove or Zoopla, looking at what's for sale around here, all kind of stuff. Not that we can afford to buy anywhere, but anyway. And that one of those platforms, Zoopla, now shows how far each property is from the nearest public charging station. They've tied it in with Octopus Energy and all their data, and they'll even note whether the home being sold or rented has an EV charger installed already. Users can filter out properties that don't have home chargers already installed, and that's not an insignificant cost, is it? You're looking at least £1,000, plus or minus. Maybe you'll get one from your electricity company, or you get a deal, or maybe a grant, but either way, not cheap to put it in properly. And so you might think, look, I just save the cost and I'll just look for houses that have got EV chargers installed. There was a new survey done by Vauxhall Opel, which found that 40% of people would consider EV charging access as part of their next home choice. If you can't charge at home, how far away is the nearest charging. Now, ChargePoint is launching Safeguard. This is a new maintenance service, and we're always interested in talking about how EV charging is becoming more reliable. This new service from ChargePoint improves the reliability of EV charging stations. Now, it starts in 6 markets where partners will visit ChargePoint chargers to inspect them, check the surroundings, clean them, make minor repairs, and run test charging sessions. The proactive approach, they hope, reduces charger downtime. Rather than waiting for something to break and then realise that you haven't got a part on the van, it's got to be ordered in, can be weeks or months. Maintaining performance and quickly addressing issues, Safeguard Care is aimed at station owners without their own maintenance staff and offers upkeep and sending more complex issues to ChargePoint's technical support team to deal with. It's called Safeguard Care, and ChargePoint, the way, you know, their model is that they have landlords and you put their chargers on your land, and they you know, you run the chargers. And so this is an add-on service that means that the chargers should be more reliable. I hope people take them up on that offer, because I don't know what it's priced at, but hopefully something that is not too steep. And, you know, you people value having the chargers on their land or their property up and running for people to come and use. And that's very, very, very important. And what was one of the things that blew my mind? Let me try and remember the company. Oh, yeah. So that would be InstaVolt. I was charging an InstaVolt station once, and the little InstaVolt van turned up with the engineer inside. And I said hello and asked, "So you doing some maintenance?" And he said, "Yes, we look after our chargers." And he took me through how, you know, much InstaVolt are proactive in this country. And then he went, "Oh man, these bushes are overhanging it a bit." And he jumped in his van and disappeared off. Came back 20 minutes later from the DIY store, and he'd bought some bags, some garden bags, and a set of sort of trimming shears, but, you know, like the long handle ones that we'll get up. And he trimmed all the kind of the foliage and stuff, because he said if it grows any more, it's going to come over and the leaves will drop, and that's, you know, potential. And he tidied up the whole site. And I thought, you must be trained as an electrical engineer, right? You can't open up the back of an EV charger and service it unless you've got some pretty high-end qualifications. As an electrician, you know what you're doing. And yet, here he was going, "Actually, I better just tidy up the site as well, make it look nice, cut back the stuff that's about to be overgrowing." I still remember it. It must be 2-3 years ago. To this day, because isn't that amazing? Wouldn't all, you know, if all charging companies had the resource to do that, but well, on InstaVolt for having that level of attention to detail. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. It blew me away, because I'm like, well, making sure the charger working is probably part of your job description. Tidying up the place, I think that goes above and beyond. Anyway, let's talk about Lucid next. Lucid Motors is rolling out a major over-the-air update for its Air sedan, adding hands-free drive assist and hands-free lane change. These features let the car drive hands-free on compatible divided highways and change lanes automatically if the turn signal is used. The Gravity gets the update later in the year. At the centre of this upgrade is DreamDrive Pro. Using LiDAR, radar, visible light and surround view cameras, plus ultrasonics, it's an optional add-on for most trims, but starting with next year's vehicle's 2026 model year, it won't be available on the entry-level Air Pure. Lucid's Dream Drive driver assist system comes in two versions, Premium and Pro. And finally, Cadillac is recalling Vistix and Lyriq, but only 53 of them. But 53 Vistix and Lyriq are being recalled because of a very strange reason. The bolts that hold the battery in may go missing. Ah, that's less good if you're driving down the highway and you hear a thud and you look inside your rearview mirror and there's your battery pack. These vehicles were built at GM's Spring Hill, Tennessee plant. They've identified March the 7th to March the 17th, that 10-day period. An inspection found all 12 bolts attaching the high-voltage battery to the floor were loose, according to the NHTSA. General Motors found the problem after vehicles that had their high-voltage batteries replaced by a third party showed the defect. GM found 56 more vehicles with the same type of battery repair and included them in the recall. Owners get a free repair. You'll be pleased to know they're not asking you to get underneath your vehicle with a spanner set or a socket set and just give them a little, you know, lefty-loosey, tighty-righty tighten up yourself. That's a good thing. Oops. Someone had a bad day at the office, didn't they? Right, thanks to our premium partners, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, and Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, and Octopus Electroverse Global Public Charging made simple with one app and one map. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.